are. It's me and Toby. Our second attempt. We just taped about 15 minutes of beautiful podcast poetry. And I had my first malfunction with the Boss Jock app. It just died on us. But it's a beautiful, beautiful...
spectacular August day. I mean, relatively low humidity, clear skies, sunshine.
Yesterday was amazing. After, you know, I think we probably appreciated a little bit more the dry, beautiful day after the midweek of that humidity that we had.
Yeah, that was killer.
Okay, where did you stand on people that were complaining about the humidity? Because I'm going to tell you,
I had to be very, very careful, because after last February, I swore that I would never, no matter how hot or uncomfortable it got, that I would not complain, because, like I said, of what we went through last winter.
I said the same exact things, and I was very conscious, and I was probably a little obnoxious in my reminding people all week long, did you not remember the shoveling?
Yeah. And the ice cold. Last winter, not to remind people too much, because everyone has vivid memories, but they thought it would be the most spectacular ski season ever because of all that, you know, the 10 feet of snow that we got. Mm. And the simple truth of the matter is the ski areas didn't do that well because it was so cold.
Oh, so cold.
So cold.
The other way.
That the people wouldn't go on to the slopes because they had to keep on going back into the lodge to get warm.
That was crazy.
I mean, it was so... No, I didn't complain.
It was beautiful. This particular weekend, I would say, is probably going to go down as the like one of those ones that you'll remember. Like
quintessential.
Quintessential.
Yeah.
So yesterday I had the day off. Kate and I actually got out of bed around 8:30, and I said to her, this is one of those weekends where you got to plan ahead. Let's get down, and here's the plan, I said. We're going to go right to Stop and Shop. We're going to load up the cooler with ice and food and drinks. Full day's provisions. And we're going to head straight to Niles Beach. We're going to park the truck there with all the cooler and the beach chairs and everything in the truck. And we're going to walk to Sailor Stands for breakfast. And then we'll walk back, and the truck will already have a parking spot. We won't have to sweat it, because I love Niles Beach, especially in the summer. So we were 8:50. We're driving down to Stop and Shop from Mount Pleasant.
No problem.
Breeze. Like, there was like not hardly any traffic. And I said to her before we went into Stop and Shop, I said, "There's going to be a 20-minute window here."
Mark my words.
Like 9:15, the town will be gridlocked, because, you know, end of June through July. First couple of weeks of August, that's the craziness of
everyone's trying to get to the beach.
And for people to say that it's way worse now than it was when I was a kid, I think that is complete horseshit. I think that, like, when I was a kid on summer, there was beach traffic then. I remember being stuck at beach traffic.
I remember because I was lucky enough to grow up on Beach Road.
Right.
I remember people would come in and they would park virtually on people's lawns because it wasn't posted. Yep. No parking.
Yeah. I don't think it's any different than what it was. I really don't.
So the tow trucks came out and the police came out and ticketed everyone.
So we got to there at 8:50, no problems. We get out driving up Bass Avenue, and it was bumper to bumper, Bass Ave, Thatcher Road, people trying to get to Good Harbor Beach.
Instantly. Like, the light switch went on.
Yeah, the light switch. So, for people that, you know, complain about the traffic or whatever, you...
Plan ahead.
You should know to go to the beach...
Earlier
than 9 o'clock. It seems like that seems like the magic number, like, when everybody makes their plans. Like, oh, we got to get to the beach by 9. So go at 8:45.
Well, it's the weekend. And you talked about what time you rolled out of the house. It was after 8 o'clock. And for a lot of people, because they want to relax a little bit, you know, they don't want to get going too early.
No.
So, I mean, that's what it's all about. I understand. Water's warmed up quite a bit, so that's the other reason why the beaches are jammed. I mean, people are swimming more.
Yeah, the water was like bath water. Yesterday... You went, no, this is Sunday. You went to Foreign Affairs for brunch this week?
Last Sunday.
It's every Sunday, right?
Yes, the brunch is on Sunday.
Did they have a music playing?
Cause yes, they did. They had Henley Douglas Jr., who, if you don't know him, he's from the Salem area, but he plays in Gloucester all the time. Plays on Tuesday nights about 8:30, 9 o'clock, down at the Rum Line virtually every week. He... was the head, the leader of what was a group
that was known as the Boston Horns. What was the food?
The food was outrageously good. It was house-made fish cakes. Delish.
Stripers?
No.
Because he loves using striper.
He likes using a lot of local fish. It was a traditional...
The place is beautiful.
Great.
And we have our Alicia DeWolf is hostessing there Wednesday
days,
nights.
Yeah. A couple nights a week.
Yeah. And did they have the Bloody Mary bar set up?
Oh, of course. But the thing that... And I had to go back and thank Doug and his staff. I said, as great as the fish cakes were, as great as the poached eggs were, as great as all those things... that are special, the beans. And you go, huh?
Really?
He said, well, that was George's doing. He made one of the guys on his line.
His staff is
on his staff. When I tell you these beans were outrageous, and Doug said, you know, Toby, you're the third person that's come into the kitchen to say how great the beans were.
Yeah. Did you take any pictures with your phone?
I should have.
Yeah, you did.
Shame on me.
Shame on you. Yeah, Foreign Affairs has become radar, one of my top...
Yeah.
Doug Pappas. I think it's going to be top three.
Doug Pappas and his staff, both front of the house and in the kitchen, are first class, fun,
and
creative.
They have a card in the dinner dealer deck. We give them a little plug. Dinner for...
Right.
I think it's $20 off on 50.
50.
Yeah, that's substantial. That is substantial.
So if you need an excuse, get your dinner dealer deck out and go.
Crazy not to. I went to, on Tuesday night, Kate and I went to Shorten, Maine.
Uh-huh.
It's a place I don't go to too often. It's kind of a limited menu, but everything we got was fantastic.
They have little pizzas, little flatbreads.
Flatbread pizzas are great. We can make those on the pizza kettle, though. But every appetizer we got was fantastic. The beer I drank, you looked it up with Gose.
It's a G-O-S-E. It's a German beer style.
Yeah,
it's a top fermented wheat beer.
Yeah, coriander in it. Very, very good. What Kate noted about it, and I'll talk about a little bit, is that what she was most impressed about was how knowledgeable the staff was about every ingredient, every dish. Like, they could tell you everything that was going on, what would pair and everything. So it's a nice place. It's a good change of pace. You know, I'm kind of like, I've been to the studio a million times this summer. I've been to all the thing there. So I'm trying to branch out a little bit right now. So we went to Shorten, Maine, stuff like that. So it was nice.
Well, there are, it's great. We have lots of options.
Blessed. Yeah, blessed. So this is the time of year where, I should also mention, so on Rocky Neck, if summer's almost over, we got another 4 or 5 weeks. This is the time of year you want to go to Sailor Stands and eat.
You made a post there.
Yeah. You have to have breakfast at Sailor Stands in the summertime. It's totally tradition, and the food is great. Karen, the owner, is awesome. And so a little plug for them. So knowing that summer is a month away from ending, I know you don't know this. This question I ask you, so I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but you might be able to come up with something. I have some things in my head. For this part of the season, this time of the year, what end of season sale items do you have your eye on, or do you think traditionally you say this is a good time to buy this for next year because I'm definitely going to need this and it's going to be 50% off?
You know, it's interesting, Joe. I guess I'm out of that buying mode. I have acquired virtually everything.
Simplify.
But, clearly, I mean, if you needed shorts or, that sort of thing, that all of the stores are 50 off. Palazzolo's right now, because they're closing, they've got they are already reduced prices. They're 50 off. I mean, they got a lot of good stuff down there still to be had.
Yeah.
And if you're, Christmas shopping for somebody special, think ahead, folks. Go down to Palazzolo's and get it now.
I'm thinking about I got two pairs of Bogs. you know, the waterproof low cut footwear that I wear down the wharf because so splashing around by the tanks, your feet don't get soaked.
Frankie has his favorite. You love the bogs.
Frankie likes LLB. I think just fine. I think if anyone tried on the bogs, they would want to wear the bogs. I think they. I've had L.L. Bean footwear and
good, but not as good as the bogs.
I don't know. I don't even think it's actually. I think that I've developed foot problems because of the Merrell knockoff L.L. Bean version. They had no support, and the foot doctor actually told me that it's these shoes, these L.L. Bean shoes. You got to get rid of these and get something with the arch support. The Merrells will be much better for you. But anyway.
In any case, you've got two pairs of bogs that were already marked down and then 50% off on top. And so you got two pair for like $80 where they would normally be $100 for an individual pair.
So here's the things that I have my eye on for the end of the season sales. Grilling accessories. Like usually, you know, down at Target and some other places, you get grilling accessories.
Well, you're obsessed with grilling.
I'm totally obsessed. Actually, this morning I did about 30 minutes of research on a Bluetooth thermometer probe system that will give you your readout of what your meat
on your phone.
On your phone, yeah. I think I got it narrowed down between two different brands: the iGrill and the Maverick. Maverick is the old, tried and true, tested one. That one actually doesn't give you the results on your phone, but if on all the barbecue forums, it's like that's those guys use. And the iGrill has
the people who are totally obsessed with grilling like you. That's the one, the Maverick.
But it's really not for grilling so much as it is for smoking. You know what I mean? Because the long smokes, you don't want your temperature to spike too much.
Right,
you don't want to open up the grill to check it and stuff like that. So you can, you know, you could set these probes inside, and when you're doing a 7.5 hour cook, when your charcoal's going down, or you don't have enough smoke, or you don't have enough heat, you know, it gives you those parameters between. You don't want it below 200. You don't want it above 275.
Right.
And so there you go. There's that. I've been looking for. Also coolers, like usually this time of year you can get really good deals on nice coolers.
I have three, and I got them at 25% of suggested retail by waiting to the sales. So you're absolutely right, especially with coolers, because they take up so much space within the store.
They got to bang them out.
They got to get rid of them. And I think I got mine at CVS, so check in with CVS, not to push them. But
Stop and Shop usually has
just
a,
from my experience.
At the end of the season, Stop and Shop usually gives stuff away. They just keep marking them down and down and down and down until they
because they're
gone.
So bulky. Like I said, they got to get rid of them.
That's right. Yeah. So there's that, and there's that. We did a. Why don't we get this out of the way? Because I know you've been. There was a press release. I don't know if it was a month or two ago about the signs on the rotary were going to be more monitored and stuff like this. Now it doesn't. I should point this out. They do not bother me the way that they bother you, but I know you mentioned this quite so often. I know it's one of your things. You hate.
I hate visual pollution like that.
Yeah.
I think
so we're talking about the signs, like community event signs at the Rotary.
Yeah, well, a lot of them are for not just community events. They're private businesses.
All that stuff, right?
Yeah.
But that's what we're talking about. Now go ahead and talk about what... Did you read that press release that they came out with? And what did it say?
They were going to monitor it, and the DPW was going to be in charge, and that they were going to remove to the DPW yard so that people could retrieve their inappropriate signs back at the DPW. But they were going to, anything for any commercial venture was going to absolutely be removed, and that anything for a public event should be cleared with the DPW before erected. And part of what upsets me is not just how many, the proliferation, but we have that beautiful Welcome to Gloucester sign with the pilings, and people use that as an anchor. They just nail something to that, and I just think that it takes away from, if we're inviting people to come to our beautiful place and then it's adorned with all these reckless signs, I just think it takes away from the beauty.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
It's just my take on it. Visual pollution.
It's a fair take. It's fair. It doesn't bother me. I don't It doesn't bother me, not even one speck, but I know I've heard from other people that it does bother. So
yeah, well, we deal with enough with political signs and real estate signs, and I understand them, but, you know, all these other things just... They don't come back and remove them. The yard sale stuff, for example, you know, they'll put them up. But do you think they go back to all the telephone poles and remove them and put them in the trash or recycle them? No.
So, yeah. Well, there's that. So we, on Friday night, vignette from Pop Gallery, Kate went and had a photo shoot with them. And she said, Vignette was going to take some shots of the new lines that they have down at Pop Gallery,
and which is located
in the west end of Main Street.
Right,
yeah, beautiful. They have all like kind of like artisan clothing and cool, really funky, cool, awesome stuff.
Right,
and so Vignette was going to shoot her a couple shots downtown and then go to Niles Beach. And when we she shot her down at downtown, a couple of things, the Sargent House and against the wall that's opposite of the Palazzolo's mural. Some really cool shots, creative stuff that Vignette was doing. And it was a lot of fun. Kate was vamping it up and we were just laughing the whole time. And then we're going to go to Niles Beach to do some shooting. It was like 6:30 and Niles Beach was still packed. There was no parking spots down there. And I said to Vignette, I says, I don't know how you're going to get a shot without someone in the frame because there's so many people. You know, you're going to be working around that all the time. I says, let me make a suggestion. Let's go down to Rocky Neck. If you want to do a beach, we can go to Oaks Cove Beach. But I think a way, way more interesting place to do this shoot would be at the railways, Marine Railways, down in on Rocky Neck, just past
the end.
Past
the end
of Squirrel.
Yeah, right.
So we went down there, and Kate changed in and out of about 8 different outfits. And there's so much, like, for that place. I think that and the Heritage Center are two photographers' gold mines. Like there's so many interesting shapes and colors and symmetry and stuff like that that you can't any photographer. There's a million different shots you can get down there. Interesting. We had an absolute blast, and she got some great photos. So I wanted to give a shout out to Vignette. But the point that is taking me a while to get to was that they are brilliant because their marketing consists of taking these photos on a digital camera. So you're not paying for film anymore, right?
Right.
She shot about 1,000 frames, maybe more. Beautiful shots. Kate doesn't get paid to do the modeling. It's kind of like a fun thing to do.
Sure.
And then they plaster them all over their social media sites. They have a huge Facebook page. They have, you know,
they tweeted a whole bunch.
Yeah. All this stuff. They know they're getting me involved, that they're going to get this exposure on Good Morning Gloucester. And how many people aren't taking advantage of these things? And how much bang they're going to get for their buck? Like, you know, it's probably... It was 3.5 hour shoot. Vignette's probably going to take a day or so to edit all the shots that they're going to use and to bang them out. But like, that's the cost of doing that compared to like ads in local newspapers that people aren't generally buying anymore. And
well, you and I've often talked about sometimes the on-site interviews that you do with local businesses that. You know, what the true dollar value of that, you know, could be if they had to pay for it commercially. With digital equipment
and so many apps that you have for your computer. Yourself.
Right.
And that's the point that I'm trying to make is here's a small business is taking charge and not being afraid of using social media. Like, you don't have to be that savvy. And I bang this drum all the time, like, so many people don't get started. So many small businesses don't get because they're intimidated by technology. But so many of these things, they don't cost a single thing to do. So yeah. So props to the Pop Gallery. We'll put links to what they do with the beautiful Miss Kate And this is a short podcast, but I'm happy we got to get it in.
Yeah, it's nice to do, you know, we haven't done one for a while.
Yeah. All right, Toby. For Toby Pett, this is Joey Shimataro. Now, the GloucesterCast, 145.
In the books.
Boom. Thank you.